and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Steve Kaifin. New details in an evolving murder case outside Boston.
The defendant is now before the court charged with murder of his wife, Anna Walsh, as well as disinterring of a body.
At a court hearing for Brian Walsh, prosecutors say he went online to look up ways to dismember and dispose of a body on the day his wife, Anna, was last seen, New Year's Day. WBZ TV reporter Nick Giovanni.
They have scoured everything from dumpsters to trash facilities and transfer stations. Investigators found at one of the trash facilities everything from a hacksaw to a rug to used cleaning supplies.
Well, CBS's Scott McFarland says there will be court action today in the New Mexico case against a failed political candidate.
It'll be a brief initial court appearance for Solomon Pena today near Albuquerque. 3 months ago, Pena was running for a state House seat in New Mexico, but after his defeat, police say Pena led a conspiracy with four others to fire bullets into the homes of four local Democratic officials.
Overseas, Ukraine's interior minister is among the dead in a helicopter crash just outside the capital, Kyiv. Eyewitnesses say the craft ended up in a school building.
We in the apartment on the first floor heard the hum and then a sudden explosion. That's it. Then fire and flames took the kindergarten.
In a video speech today to the World Economic Forum, Ukraine's president called for faster deliveries of tanks and air defense units. CBS's Jim Krasula tells us parents had a chance to speak out in a Virginia city where recent events have made school safety a top concern.
More than 100 parents and students packed an auditorium in Newport News for the school board's first meeting since police say a 6-year-old boy shot his 25-year-old first grade teacher. Many addressed the school board.
We need to ensure that this student never returns to Newport News Public School.
I don't want to have a family dinner where I talk about where my kids will hide in their school.
There have been three school shootings in the district in the past year and a half.
And officials are planning to install metal detectors in all school buildings. CBS's Vicki Barker's got the latest on one company's effort to try to come up with a vaccine for a respiratory illness that's been on the rise.
Moderna says international trials involving 37,000 older adults have shown its experimental RSV vaccine to be safe and effective in preventing at least two symptoms of RSV. Now it's begun analyzing the vaccine's efficacy against more severe disease and hospitalization.
The government says producer prices fell in December from the month before and were up just over 6%. From a year earlier. Wall Street, right now the Dow is down 347 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
As a Walgreens pharmacist, I talk with people all the time about little tips and tricks for filling their Medicare prescriptions, like taking advantage of Walgreens 90-day refills to save them a trip, or using Refill by Scan, which is super easy and right on your phone. And for anybody worried about prescription costs, I say, hey, we got you, with low-cost copays on many medications.
Let's talk about making things easier. Walgreens is here. Fill your way and save at walgreens.com/Medicare. See pharmacists for restrictions and exclusions.
Suddenly it dawns on you. You have the perfect idea for that special holiday gift, but there's no time to waste. You have to move now. No need to fret. You're on your way with a Keyline Home Equity Line of Credit. The money is instantly available to you in the amount you need and at a comfortably affordable rate. Visit Key Savings Bank to set up your Keyline Home Equity Line of Credit. Then wherever you go, whatever you do, you'll be ready. Key Savings Bank, 811 East Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
And visit their branch office in the town of Rome.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Wisconsin primary for the state Supreme Court is February 21st, and one candidate so far is outraising her rivals. WisPolitics.com reports Judge Janet Protasiewicz pulled in over $750,000 during the full six-month period that ended December 31st. Liberal Dane County Circuit Court Judge Everett Mitchell raised $115,000, while conservatives former Justice Daniel Kelly and Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Jennifer Doro have both raised over $300,000. Protasiewicz and Mitchell were the only ones who were actively fundraising for the full 6 months. Doro's fundraising all happened in December, while Kelly launched his bid to rejoin the court in September. In Washington, newly elected House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has tapped Wisconsin's Brian Steil to chair the House Administration Committee. Republican Representative Steil represents Wisconsin's 1st congressional district. In sports, Wisconsin beat Penn State 63-60. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 33. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 27 tonight, snow showers likely. 33 tomorrow, snow showers likely. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
The hour.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour. That was so fun to talk to Katie Rosen.
It really was. And I would so love to go up there.
Yes.
We would like to go visit all of our homes.
We just want, you know, nothing wrong with
road
Waukesha
trip.
And Tosa and Milwaukee.
We love it.
We want to go to other parts of the state. Get it,
road trip.
Break up the monotony.
Road trip.
I think you should drive, though.
I am down with that.
You can be in charge of driving, because I think you would not like me driving.
I don't like most people driving. because I've never understood why people who are driving, when they have a passenger in the car and they're talking to the passenger, you don't have to look at that person in order for them to hear you. So I have a sister who does that, and my best friend does that. And it's like, you don't need to look at me while you're driving. Just look at what you're doing, and I can hear you anyway.
It's like the Tim Michaels campaign where he was talking to camera, but driving. And clearly, I mean, because this is fun fact about Hollywood. Any show, any movie where you think the actor is driving, they're not. Like, they are always getting pulled. Like,
right.
There's a different car pulling the car.
It's a dummy car.
But, so certainly Tim Michaels in that ad was in a dummy car. But I just kept, every time that would come on and him just, like, being the everyday guy, talking to camera, I was like, watch the road, dude. Like, we have bad enough driving already in Wisconsin. Like, this is not a good example.
Pay attention. So, yes, anyway, I will drive.
All right. So, speaking of different smaller communities across Wisconsin. And this story hits close to home since my parents grew up in Wisconsin Rapids. My parents, my aunts and uncles, my grandparents still have a lot of family that lives in Wisconsin Rapids. And one of the things, if you've ever been to Wisconsin Rapids, that you know, is there is a big ass mill in the middle of Wisconsin Rapids.
That was the main employer, right?
It's massive. It's so big. Actually, speaking of that, you played the Charlie Barron song. I have this shirt. He has a shirt in his merch store that is in the font of Disney. It says Wisconsin Rapids. And then instead of the Magic Castle, Magic like Kingdom Castle, it is the Wisconsin Rapids paper mill.
Well, former paper mill.
Former paper mill. Because in the last couple of years, since I've moved back, the company that was doing the like magazine type paper out of that mill shut down. And then I know there were some efforts to have it be a co-op and have people, employees, what a co-op is, employees own it and try to keep it functioning. And I think as we were entering the budget this year, I think the last in 2021, when there was budget talks, there was an attempt to try to get a grant from the state. So it's like an ongoing thing, because for 100 years, the like heart of that community was the paper mill, and where so many people worked, and it was good jobs. And that is the story of so many different communities across Wisconsin, especially communities that are on the Wisconsin River. And so with them shutting down, it's like, what, not only what do you do for jobs, but also what do you do with these big ass buildings?
It's massive, really. The footprint is enormous.
And you forwarded this to me last night. So there's a story of, it's a new Wisconsin Watch investigative report. And if you don't, Wisconsin Watch does incredible journalism. I mean, we have so many, we're very lucky.
We
as
are.
As much as local news is kind of being drowned in a bathtub to a certain extent, like, we still do have a lot of really incredible journalists who are doing incredible work. And so this was released yesterday by Jacob Resnick was the Jacob Resnick and Zen Wang. And this is about Park Falls. But they had a paper mill that has gone through different ownership, and then it was part of a, as far as I understand, like, there was a liquidation process. And so part of the mill was getting basically rented out to a company called SOS Limited, which it's a share there whose shares trade on the New York Stock Exchange. And they began installing racks of computers inside the former paper mill to mine cryptocurrency. And it makes sense, because if you know anything about cryptocurrency, it is, they need tons of servers to do this. And so in the amount of space that exists in these paper mills, like, it kind of makes sense, except at least in this instance, it does not sound like they were necessarily on the up and up. And
no.
So it's like, is this what we want? Is this the best use of these spaces? Is this the most creative thing that we can come up with? So I feel like it would be great to get the journalists who are much closer to this story on the show. But I just wanted, because it just broke yesterday, and I feel like it's so unknown. I feel like the cryptocurrency stuff is still so new. Most people still don't understand what it is, and Bitcoin and how this is working. And all they know is the volatility of different cryptocurrencies and their value and all this stuff. But
were you aware prior that we had crypto farms here in Wisconsin?
You know, I feel like my brother at one point because he follows it a lot closer.
He's an investor.
He's an investor and is up to date with a lot of this stuff. Was very upset when he first didn't get on the Bitcoin train fast enough. But I think he threw it out at one point as being an option, because you do need space. But it doesn't necessarily provide a ton of jobs. So it's not, it's something to do with the building. It's not necessarily something that's going to be an opportunity
For the community.
And so where this story starts, though, because in this story specifically, it's not even just, because it sounds like the community is not necessarily very happy that this is happening. Because what I didn't realize until I read this, mining for crypto is not allowed in China. In China. Of all places. And one, it's because it's not very regulated. But two, it's because it's terrible for the environment.
And you wouldn't necessarily equate the two, but it is.
And it's partially because, the computers use massive amounts of energy. And so in a recent 46-page report, the White House in America, our White House, estimated that the greenhouse gas footprint of electricity powering U.S. cryptocurrency production in 2021 was equivalent to the average annual greenhouse emissions from 3 million gas-powered cars.
That's just shocking.
And, like, this is something that's still not even, like, ubiquitous, right? This is something that's still kind, I don't know, maybe someone would correct me that when I call it maybe a fringe thing that's still emerging, it's not, you know, it's, maybe I'm wrong there, but I think it's still a fringe thing.
It's still a fringe thing, absolutely.
And so we host, you right now in the United States, we host 1/3 of the global Bitcoin asset mining.
Gosh, I had no idea. For some reason, that always seemed, and this is a terrible thing to say, but it seemed like something that would happen in poorer countries. these Bitcoin mining operations.
I mean, I to a certain extent, I don't think it's surprising, because as long as it's not regulated here, then people
can get around a lot of things.
I mean, I'm sure our power grid's a lot stronger than in other countries. And so if you go to a place like, you know, if you've gone to other places, like in Puerto Rico, their power grid's not, since with all the hurricanes and stuff, and as they're rebuilding it, some certain countries, like the power grid's probably just not strong enough to even do it.
They're probably not even in Texas either.
So I feel like there, I don't want to just sit here and read, because it's a fairly long report and article. So I'm not just going to read it, but I was something that was not even on my radar, though. When you read it, I understand the sentiment of this potentially being a thing that could be an option for so many of these paper mill pills that are sitting empty. And what do you do with them? But on its face, especially with specifically this company, SOS Limited, and how much controversy it seems like they're, because a big part of the story, where the story starts, is some pretty like shady illegal immigration situations, of specifically these, a story of two Chinese immigrants who are here, and basically they got hurt and laid off, and they've just been living in a motel because they were waiting for their last paycheck, and they're not here legally. So that in the article, they can't even use their real names, because they're, you know, obviously nervous about their own safety and sure, their ability to be here. And so it seems like a pretty complex story that is happening upon our like rural Wisconsin.
What I don't understand, because so many of these crypto companies have failed, is this still going to be a viable thing going forward? I mean, with the failure of FTX and some of the other...
That's an exchange. So that's not... This is what... If someone knows more about crypto, because I'm going to give my very, very basic understanding. So there are the coins themselves.
Right.
And that is the currency. And if you think about why... Currency only has value because we decide collectively to say that this is what the value is.
Right.
But like at one point it was gold, because gold was a limited resource and still is. And why we, when they say we print money, it deflates the value of it. And so the value of the different, what I understand, the value of any of these cryptocurrencies, whether it's like, so like that is the term, and then there's different types. So Bitcoin is a type of cryptocurrency.
Gotcha.
And then there were exchanges that cryptocurrency was exchanged on, but they weren't like FTX wasn't like mining for crypto.
So that was not a product in and of itself.
No, I think that's more like, it's like the stock exchange, right? Of like the buying and selling. Again, I'm saying this like I know what I'm talking about, but if you have a better understanding and can explain it better than I am, feel free to correct me, because I am not going to die on this hill that I know what I'm talking about.
Well, and we're gonna chase down these journalists too.
Yes.
And see if we can't get them on to explain a little bit more.
I think there's something to be explained with this story. I'm sure we could probably try to find someone to come on to actually explain crypto, because I don't know if it's going away. I don't know if it's going away.
But it just,
Bitcoin even has, like, the value of it has dropped, but it's still like $21,000 per coin or something insane. Like, the value of it is still super high. So there's people who are very bought in on this. It's just an unregulated emerging system. So with that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, some other technology news, another TikTok story, because it might be going away, but we'll see. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story, because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors.
people of every age and ethnicity because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Or fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Thank you for joining us during your lunch hour. So some other technology news. I don't know if this is going to happen at UW-Madison anytime soon. It might. But the University of Texas at Austin, along with Auburn University in Alabama, the University of Montana, and the university system in Georgia, have banned TikTok.
Wow.
Which, so it's banned TikTok, and not that it's like going to look on your phone and say, are you using TikTok to all their students? It's banned it from its Wi-Fi. So like if you're on campus and you are connected to the Wi-Fi, you cannot access TikTok.
I would think that's going to tick off a lot of students.
So it sounds like it's going to be annoying. Because if you think about it, like if you use your cellular data, you can still get on TikTok. If you have your own like MiFi hotspot, if you go to a coffee shop and you connect to there, you know, Starbucks has their own internet. So it's a hindrance and it will eat up your data plan if you don't have unlimited data, but it's not necessarily going to keep people from going on the app yet. But also what it's affecting is people, because it's a research university, like most big public universities are, that the university, if you can't get TikTok on university Wi-Fi, it hinders professors' ability to better understand the app. So like people who are actually studying it and like studying how it spreads misinformation and like policymaker, like how to actually, if this thing that over 100 million U.S. in the U.S. alone,
wow,
over 100 million people are active users on TikTok. So shutting it down but also understanding it is important. And this is the same way there's plenty of social science researchers who study any social media platform. But the bottom line is mostly that it's annoying for students at UT Austin, Auburn, and any other school. If that begins to grow, that it's going to ban TikTok. But 67% of 13 to 17 year olds have used the platform, and it's second only to YouTube.
Wow.
So ongoing as far as where I really don't want it to go away.
I know
I really
you
just,
don't.
I just want an American company to buy it, but not change anything. And so it doesn't have to get banned, because I still maintain that it's more fun than any of the other platforms.
And why do you think that is? Because of the brevity?
You know, what was I watching last night? I feel like And, you know, it can change. There's tons of crap on there, too. But I just find that the creativity of people that it makes me, in the best parts of TikTok, more so than what I've seen with Reels or whatever, there's just a... People are so talented. The average person, people who are just naturally very funny, or they have a lot of expertise or knowledge, and they find this place that they can share it, and it can find, you don't have to have a huge marketing strategy for people to be able to find the thing that you put out into the world. Like when I first started making content in 2017, and I would post it on Facebook, YouTube, and like whatever the version of videos were on Instagram at that point. And, you know, the way that I was trying to get people to see it was sending it to people, you know, like sending the link for people to click on so there would be views.
Which seems so archaic now.
Yeah. And like posting it to like forums or Facebook groups and stuff like that. And, you know, struggling to get a couple thousand views of content that I still stand by that was good. But, you know, and so and all the advice I would get on how to actually, it's like to reverse engineer SEO and make content based off of what people were searching for rather than, and like, that's never been my thing. Like, I don't make advice, like I don't like review products or do tutorials of how to edit a video in Adobe Premiere,
right?
Like it was like I was making commentary and trying to break down issues. And so I guess maybe what I could have done is reverse engineered what the news was. And so when people were searching for the news, it would come up like in that way. But like that just didn't seem interesting to me. And so all the hacks of how to grow didn't lead me to make content that I wanted to make. And I just think TikTok has revolutionized that as far as like people will find it. Like the people who are interested in it will find it.
But it sounds like what's really unique about TikTok is the users.
Maybe. Or just maybe it's, and maybe that is what flipped it on its head, because I think it was the first, you know, people were starting to grow and photographers and influencers and stuff on Instagram. Because if you think about the evolution of social media was originally like connecting with people you knew in a digital way. And then Instagram, like instead of friends, they were followers. And so then all of a sudden it was kind of the first thing that we were engaging with that you could follow celebrities and they were posting about their life on the platform. And then people who were just average people became celebrities because of the way that they posted on their platform. And TikTok, I feel like, flipped that on its head, where people kind of felt like all these people who are watching that this is getting shown to, I don't know at all. And so I almost, there's like almost an ability to, you know how like sometimes in front of strangers, you're like, what do I have to lose? Like I'm never going to see these people again.
Sure.
And like, especially in that first like 2020 during the pandemic of people being like, there was a trending sound, because that's how TikTok works, of if you see me on TikTok and you know me in real life, no, you didn't. You know, of
your own disclaimer.
Of being like, if you come across my video and we work together, we're just not going to talk about that you saw this video. And so
never happened.
People being able to have this persona of like them alone with their camera making a video that's maybe a different, they're introverted or they're in their real life, it's very different. And so they're not making it for the people like their friends and family. They're making it for the anonymous internet. All right. We're taking another break. Stay with us. We're going to be talking about viral.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Snuggle up to a new friend this cold season. There's someone waiting just for you. This week's Pet of the Week is brought to you by Eway Sales and Pawn and the Southwood County Humane Society. Eway Sales and Pawn. When the money's gone, it's time to pawn. With two locations in Wisconsin Rapids and Stevens Point.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude. Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. In Wisconsin Rapids, the westbound lane on the East Riverview Expressway is closed between 1st Street South and 2nd Avenue South. The Holtger Brothers utility contractor is installing fiber optics. Traffic will be shifted to the inside westbound lane of East Riverview Expressway. The closed lane is expected to reopen by Wednesday, January 25th. The Wildwood Park and Zoo in Marshfield is mourning the death of Smokey, an almost 12-year-old timber wolf. Preliminary findings show he died of a heart attack from natural causes. Smokey had been with the zoo since 2015 when he was transferred with his two siblings, Malachi and Luna. Zoo staff say Smokey was always a favorite of visitors because of his beautiful coloring and silly antics. He was often the first to howl back at sirens, and he will be greatly missed. The other wolves in the pack are adjusting well, but will continue to be monitored by zoo staff. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 33. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 27 tonight, snow showers likely. 33 tomorrow, snow showers likely. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
You're listening on a radio, on the app. Thank you for tuning in. A reminder that if you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. And you can always join the conversation, 844-967-2789. Well, Valentine's Day is less than a month away. And the Milwaukee County Zoo wants to help you give that special person a uniquely wild gift. So Jenny Diliberti Shea, Public Relations Manager at Milwaukee County Zoo, joins us with all the details of how you can send a very unique gift. And I'm very excited about this because I'm not always good at remembering to send Valentine's Day cards. And I think I know exactly what I'm doing this year. So welcome to the show, Jenny.
Excellent. I'm happy to hear that.
So this is not the first year. This is a recurring program.
It is. We've done it maybe 4 years or so. And it's interesting because a lot of zoos do similar programs. So we like to say this is a special video message to a loved one from our animals with love. And it's really neat because you can choose from a lot of different animals. We have camels, lions, red panda, 12 different animals. You can choose the animal that you'd like to have send a message to your loved one, and the zookeeper will actually do a kind of a personalized message along with that animal. So it is, it's really sort of custom made for that particular person.
And so it's a custom, it's not just a blanket general statement. They will act, so they film all of these individually?
They do.
Oh my gosh.
We have two zookeepers who are super ambitious. There are Wild Connections zookeepers. So they do the tours, the up close tours with the animals. And this is just part of their, jobs that they decided they wanted to take this on. And like you say, people will put in little maybe anecdotal things about that person, or maybe like a joke that's, just sort of tailored to that person. And like you say, they do all of the filming on their own with the animals, and they actually have special access to some of the animals, so you're going to see them in the habitats with some of these animals, which is really kind of cool.
Jenny and I have had the opportunity to work together off and on for many, many, many years, my friend. I'm just, the people at the zoo are so passionate, and that's why it doesn't surprise me that you have zookeepers who are going to be busy for the next 2.5 weeks filming messages from red pandas, because they just love it so much.
I know. I just get chills when I hear that, because it's so true. And, these keepers, Amanda and Joe, we'll give them a shout out. Last year they were here, into the wee hours of the morning. And I asked Amanda for something that I needed for another project. And she said, just bear with me. I was here doing the messages, until midnight or whatever. And like you say, they're just really passionate. And I want people to know too, that these animals that we choose to do these, they want to do it. We would never make an animal they're not doing anything maybe specifically, but maybe they would give an animal an enrichment item or something unique to them that they want to interact with. But again, it's all on their terms. So sometimes they'll go into the animal areas and the animal doesn't want to participate, then they'll just leave them alone, come back at a different time out. So like you say, it does take some time. And these virtual Valentines are now available for purchase online now through the 7th of February. So people kind of want to keep that in mind to get those orders in early.
So I'm looking at the list. So it's camel, elephant, giraffe, hyena, lion. Is an opossum different than a possum? Is opossum?
Opossum. I think it's only opossum.
It's a possum. Yeah.
It's just a possum,
it's
right?
A possum.
Okay, I don't know if there was different.
Right.
A red-tailed boa constrictor, sloth, a tawny frogmouth, and a prehensile-tailed porcupine, a penguin, and a red panda. So of those, Is there one that's every year the most popular?
Well, it's funny because Amanda, one of the keepers, was saying to me that last year there was a competition because they were thinking, okay, who's going to be the most popular? And it was the red panda and the sloth were tied. Okay. They're very close. And so now they're wondering who's going to come through this year, if it's going to be, somebody else. I know a lot of people have an affinity to our giraffes. Our giraffes are one of the most popular animal here, if people are wondering. And Kristen, I think you said that your favorite animal is an elephant.
Yeah. Well, it's mostly because I identify as an elephant, as far as being someone who thinks they're gentler than they are, but is actually quite... Especially a baby elephant that, baby elephants who think they're lap dogs and are pretty big.
She's swinging her trunk around, knocking things over, and she's getting used to using it.
But they're also matriarchies. And so the way that they are, how they're herd animals, but it's always the women with other women, they're female elephants, and then the babies, and the boys are off doing whatever they're going to do. And they're so smart.
Right.
So yes, I identify as an elephant.
You should be a part-time zookeeper. You know a lot about the animals.
I know a lot about elephants, but the other ones, I didn't know an opossum and a possum was the same thing. So that's so fun. So last year was Red Panda and the Sloth, you said?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see this year. I know penguins are also up there too, in terms of people that we have a very big following of penguin fans here. And that's why we have offered in the past a special penguin day, because there's so many people out there that just love those birds. They're just super cute and fun.
Absolutely. We're talking to Jenny Dilberti Shea, who is the public relations manager at the Milwaukee County Zoo. And we're talking about virtual Valentines. And so if someone is interested, if we've piqued their interest, where do they go to get a virtual Valentine before February 7th?
Right. They can go to our website, milwaukeezoo.org, and that's the first thing that you're going to see on the top homepage banner is a picture of Poppy, one of our giraffe calves. And so there's all of the details on there, how you go about signing up for the virtual Valentine, how you can add some, you know, tailored text, I guess you could say, about the person or whatever you would want to add. All of that is there for you. There is a list of frequently asked questions, too, that people can read those over. And then you would actually get a link to that card or that Valentine, video Valentine, before Valentine's Day. And so they're priced just a little bit differently if you do it for the early bird special. They're $25. And then after that date, after the first, they go up to $30. But again, all that money goes back to the animals. So what a great cause.
And that was actually going to be my next question. So thank you for the segue, because this has to be a pretty popular fundraiser for the zoo. One, it's labor intensive, so it's not nothing. I mean, it's not easy to pull off, but it's such a cool, unique thing to be able to do each year. And so I imagine this brings in is it a pretty popular fundraiser for you guys?
It is. I think as the years go by and we continue to do it, I think people look for it. And that's just it. When I had talked with the keepers, they're gearing up for this actually, because we got the information about it a few weeks ago, just to put on our website and whatnot. And I think, of course, you know, we're such a community-oriented zoo. We have such a following. And when you say, you know, the money directly supports the animals, I think that is just such a feel good, sort of concept that, and even when you come in to visit the zoo, your admission directly supports these animals. So whatever they need, if they need special things for their diets, obviously some of them are on strict diets, whether it's plants and vegetables or whatever, or if they need to renovate their habitats, this money directly supports that. So what could be better than maybe, you know, giving something back to the sloth or the tawny frogmouth bird? So it's all good.
Jenny, my husband and I were just talking about this over the weekend. With climate change, and we are losing species, and our zoos are really more important than ever because of your conservation efforts and your attention to these animals and wanting these animals to thrive as much as possible.
Right. I mean, that's a really good point. We have several curators here that are in charge of the different areas, large mammals, aquatics, that type of thing. You know, and they tell me, you know, when I say, well, you know, we don't have any rhinos right now and we're renovating their area. So we'll be getting rhinos. And they say, you know, in a perfect world, right, there wouldn't be zoos. Yeah. But when you're talking about the rhinos or the elephants, even giraffes, you know, we just don't want to get to the day that the only place that you can see them are going to be in zoos. But for a lot of people who maybe not travel or have the financial means to go places, the zoo is a wonderful resource. But like you say, our animals here, we have a lot of, you know, births every year. And they tell me it's because the animals feel comfortable here. If they didn't feel comfortable, you know, they wouldn't breed. And that is such a good feeling because the keepers do everything they possibly can, you know, to conserve those animals and to give them different opportunities, of course. And a lot of times the keepers spend more time with the animals than they do with their husbands and wives. You know what I mean? So that whole conservation piece really is a very important part of what we do.
And that's why sometimes they end up naming some of the offspring of these animals after family members because they see them more often.
Exactly. I mean, it is. It's true. They're here. You know, we just had a calf born here on the family farm. That's where my office is. And we just had a calf born yesterday morning. And the keeper said they were on call throughout the night because they thought, you know, if they call at 2 a.m, they're coming in and they're going to be here for that birth to make sure everything goes as planned. So like you say, they're close to them and end up naming them after maybe family members.
So speaking of new animals and births, what are some of the new animals that people could go visit and look out for at the Milwaukee County Zoo?
Sure. So in our small mammals building, we actually have a new species that came in not that long ago, about a month ago, and they're called pygmy slow lorises. And they're actually the only venomous primate. We have a couple primates in that building.
Venomous primate?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
I know. I never knew. I had to look them up and kind of research them, but they're super tiny. They only weigh about 15 ounces each. We have a male and a female here, Henderson and Shantou, and they came to us, like I say, about a month ago. Super cool animals. They have ginormous eyes, really interesting, really animated, curious. They're found in the wild. They're found in South America, and so... I guess the thing to remember about them, even though they're super cool, people want to keep them as pets. Mm. And they're involved in the exotic pet trade. And so by people coming here and being educated about them, we hope that we can, you know, add to, I guess, the elimination of that. But they're really neat animals in that, like I say, they're arboreal animals. So you're going to see them high in their habitat, which is very cool. And the whole venom, you know, sort of aspect of them, the venom actually comes out of their elbows and then it mixes with, they mix it with their saliva and then they're able to bite their prey.
Wait a second. I got to lick my elbow and I'm coming after you.
Isn't it actually physically impossible for humans to lick their elbow? Haven't we seen those videos before? So that part of the primate, we did not inherit that part from this primate, apparently.
Right. I was thinking of that too. And I don't know if it's because they're so small, you know what I mean? That their little body parts can do that. I don't know. But it, to me, it was just really interesting. So we've had a lot of people, you know, coming out to see them just because it's a new species also to the zoo.
Oh, that's so fun. What's your, in the last minute, do you have a favorite?
My favorite animal here is the snow leopard in the big cat building.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine to pick favorites.
Yes, and yours is the elephant.
Mine is the elephant, so we will have to get over there soon. And Jane, what's your favorite animal?
I'm really torn because I love penguins and I love giraffes, but I am going with the red panda contingency. They look like a living stuffed animal. It's incredible.
You just want to take their little face, you know, and just like, I know, I just want to give them a kiss. And the keepers are like, no, you can't do that.
All right, Jenny DeLverdi-Shea, thank you so much for spending time with us. I will get on the virtual Valentine because I have some people in mind. But thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different. But you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. he fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. From Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
I got 29 ways to make it to my baby's door.
To my lovely baby's door.
I got 29 ways to make it to
Welcome
my
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Quick request, if you like our show, tell your friends about it because we're growing and people can't enjoy us if they don't know we exist. So if you like us.
Word of mouth is really effective.
It is really effective. And also word of mouth, quick reminder. If you own a business or you have a friend who owns a business who could benefit from radio ads and promos across our growing Civic Media Network, we are now in 9 different cities.
I believe so.
I say I'm at the top of the show, and it's a lot. But
it's all that math.
It's basically, it's hard to escape one of the Civic Media channels at this point when you're driving through Wisconsin. But we are giving away. We are doing a $1 million advertising giveaway. And all you need to do is mark your calendars for January 26th, Thursday, 9 a.m. You go to the website, civicmedia.us/million. You answer a couple questions on the application, and then you get to work with one of our great salespeople at Civic Media to develop your radio promo. And the only thing you also need to remember to do is tell them that Jane and Kristen sent you. It's very important.
It is very important.
It's very very important.
It's a point of pride.
It is. I cannot stress it enough. Jane and Kristen sent me. Give me my free ad. That's what you need to say.
But it's a week from this Thursday, so it's
a week
coming
from tomorrow.
Today's Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. I know Greg's not here, so
it's
you
throwing me off.
I know.
Yeah, week from tomorrow, so it's coming up quick.
All right. Well, it's the time of the show where we're going to give you 5 more ways to slightly improve your life. Without really trying, this is our month-long segment that comes from an article published by The Guardian that is 100 ways. They list 100 ways, and some of them we've said are good ideas.
Yep.
Some of them we've outright just declined. But we are on, I think we've broken past 50,
now
on 51.
Okay.
So I think we have to swap out. They don't use the words that we use, but number 51, if something in the world is making you angry, write politely to your MP. They will read it. So this is British. So if you didn't know, The Guardian is a British publication.
Right.
So your MP, I'm guessing, is their person in Parliament, MP and Lords, I think is what they're called. And they sit in the chambers of Parliament. So it'd be like our either Congress representative or U.S. senator or in the state legislature. But do you think that they actually read it?
No. Not for a moment. I don't think they listen to their phone messages.
Well,
at least some. At least some.
There or here? We know what it is here. But in England, that they added this to the list. Do you think that they actually do read it? That they said this was out of the 100 things they could list, they put this one?
Well, maybe there's a more of a veneer of politeness over there, so they actually do respond.
Mm.
But our politicians don't even bother listening at all.
Well, some. Not all.
Not some. Okay, fair enough.
Gerrymandering doesn't help that.
Most of the entire Republican legislature. But anyway, other than them.
Other than that.
It's great.
Number 52. Say hello to your neighbors.
Definitely.
Definitely.
You would be surprised how much my husband and I have lived in the same neighborhood for 20 years. And for the most part, our neighbors have stayed the same.
Oh, interesting.
And we've watched each other's dogs. We've picked up mail. We've picked up packages. You look out for each other. And it's nice. It is really nice to have. It's not like we're coming over for sleepovers, but it's still nice to have that kind of relationship where you can count on these folks and we watch out for each other.
I would agree. I think where we're living now is the first time in a long time I feel that way.
Part of the neighborhood?
Yeah, part of the neighborhood. And part of saying hi when you see people and when you're out of town, asking like, hey, can you shove in my driveway? Can you pick up the thing? Certainly did not feel that way in the bigger cities that I've lived in.
Well, an apartment living makes it almost impossible. Even though you run into each other more often, I just think it's more like living in a dorm. I don't know. It just doesn't seem as warm.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, 53. Learn the basics of repairing your own clothes. I know how to. I can sew on a button. I don't know if I'm doing it right, but it stays on. I would love to know how to, because I'm like so tall. And
to make your own stuff?
Not even make it, but be able to tailor, like to be able to buy a shirt that is long enough for my lanky arms and my long torso, but that isn't like super boxy because it needs to be big enough so it's that it's long enough. And so being able to just like do a simple thing on a sewing machine.
On a seam.
To just like bring in the torso a little bit. That would probably save me some money from having to take it to a tailor.
You can learn how to do that.
Could you teach me? Do you know how to sew?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
I had one class, a sewing class, and our assignment was to make a halter top, which is basically a triangle of fabric. And I almost strangled myself in my halter top, so I would not...
You're not going to help me.
I would not feel confident in giving you advice.
All right, well, so could you repair any of your own clothes?
I can do the button thing.
I can do the button thing.
And I fixed small tears.
Okay.
You know, but yeah. I'm not skilled by any measure.
No, me either. 54. Always bring something. Wine, flowers to a dinner or birthday party, even if they say not to. I agree with that.
Do you? Even if the people say no need to bring anything?
I think flowers. Like even like a small something. I think it doesn't have to necessarily be wine, especially if they're not wine drinkers.
Right.
But
flowers are nice.
Yeah. I feel like bringing some, you know, if people take the effort to host, bringing something is good. Bring ice. Isn't that? That was also in this
ice.
List is bringing ice.
Yes.
There you go. The last one for today. Learn the name of 10 trees. Could you name 10 trees if you had to? You think between the two of us and the minute we have until the top of the hour news, we could name 10 trees?
Yes.
Willow tree, oak tree. Your turn.
Elm
tree.
Maple. The larch.
Pine.
Birch.
Is that seven?
Seven, eight. There's lots more trees.
Fruit trees?
Apple tree, peach tree, cherry tree.
Palm tree.
There you go.
Did it. Nailed it. I saw that this morning. I was like, can I do this? So there you go. So learn the name of 10 more trees since we got that first 10.
Changed your life, apparently.
Yeah, I wonder why that's on there, of just having a more of an appreciation for the things that you see in your environment.
Expand your base of knowledge.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back.
Adult conversation.
Is it?
Maybe not.
I don't know if
it's
medical terms. I think it's not meant to be. I mean, I think we treat it like it's supposed to be an adult conversation, but I feel like it's not, because this is happening. We're having this conversation because Eric Adams, mayor of New York City, we're going to play the clip from him. He is very concerned that we do not say the word, and I'm going to say it, vagina enough. So Jane and I are going to go see if we can break a record for how many times in Wisconsin talk radio history we can say the word vagina. Because it's a medical term, and we should be able to be comfortable saying it. So stay tuned for that. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
Olivia, from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna, from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha, from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news talk and